It's Monday, October 3rd, 2022. It's about 8:20 in the morning, so that's Monday, October 3rd, 2022. And I just wanted to catch a few quick notes. I've been thinking about a concept, and I was looking through some of my old notes, trying to kind of wrap my mind around it. So I have been exploring the human inclination of what resonates with a person, and that was, you know, that was sort of a breakthrough that I had. I was trying to understand how someone becomes influenced, how someone is, I guess it's the attractant, how they become attracted to a certain premise, how they become attracted to a premise. And so at some point during my thought process, I came upon the concept of resonance, where, you know, something resonates with someone. In fact, in conversations with other people about some of their views or perspectives or beliefs, I had commented to them that something about that must resonate with them. And so it related back to a resonant cavity, a vessel. And so at some point when, you know, like I said, that was kind of a breakthrough for me and how I was developing my material to be able to name that the power of suggestion. So the power of suggestion, the casting of spells, the casting of roles. If an individual accepts the premise of the suggestion, then they're cast into a role that supports that premise. And as I said, when I connected that power of suggestion with the concept of resonance, of something resonating with someone, that was a realization, expanded consciousness, you know, that was a breakthrough to understand. And it's not just the understanding, it's how I could connect it within my modeling. But then I started thinking, well, how does that really... what I started to look at was the conversion cascade. And what I realized was... So it went back to an article I'd read about how we're constantly rewiring the neural pathways in our brain. Literally, we're hardwiring our brains to certain perspectives, to certain views, and prioritizing. You know, it goes back to the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. We're prioritizing what is most important or prominent in our estimate of the guiding principles and what we value. Somehow, I started to correlate that to the connect the dots puzzle. So the connect the dots puzzle was always okay, so it's about correlation and connection, and it was always an abstract contrivance, you know. It was, and in my notes, I had talked about in my notes, I had written down the concept of conceptual abstraction, and what I was referring to when that thought came to me was it was the power of a tool, which to me, conceptual abstraction is just that, a very powerful tool. And the lesson had come home to me because of a math teacher I had, Mrs. Jones. It had to do with a working problem that she had assigned. She said that we were going to go out on the field that day. Instead of having our class in the classroom, we're taking like a little field trip, but it was on the campus of the school back at the back of the field to the edge of the woods. And the problem that she posed was we're going to cut a tree down and it's near to our home. And so we have to determine whether or not the tree has a chance to actually fall on our house and cause damage. That was the problem that she had proposed for us to solve. And what she taught us that day was she had this very long tape measure, and we measured the length of the shadow of the tree, and we wrote that down as a parameter. And then we had a yardstick, of course, that was 3 feet long, and so that was a known parameter. And then she showed how she measured the shadow of the yardstick, and that measurement was a parameter. And having those three parameters, we solve for the unknown. And so, what was the unknown? It was the height of the tree. By having the measurement of the shadow of the tree, the measurement of the shadow of the yardstick, and the known length of the yardstick, we were able to use a formula to determine what the height of the tree was, thereby determining whether or not the tree had the possibility of striking the house, which was just, it wasn't actually a house, but it was the problem that she had proposed. And it was powerful. I was like, wow, that's a powerful tool. So that's sort of where I started to realize, you know, it just kind of came to me that to me there is this correlation. I imagined that the wiring of our brain, related to the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around and through which we project recurring patterns, our daily routines, that was correlated to this connect the dots puzzle. The big picture emerges. You know, it's the points, the principles and priorities to me are the points that our lives revolve around. And then when you So the points of that connect the dots puzzle, you correlate by you draw the lines according to the schema of the labels, and the big picture emerges. Well, it made me think about my crustacean analogy where, I said something like, consider a crustacean. In order for it to experience further growth, it has to slough off. It has to, because it has an exoskeleton, it has to slough off or back out of its old shell so that it can form a new shell that allows further growth. And I correlated that to the connect the dots puzzle. It's scalable. But I also connected it to the fact that the connect the dots structure could be seen as a resonant cavity. And as these principles and priorities become converted, and as our consciousness expands, so too would the nature of what would resonate with us and what would not. And that was, helpful. Not saying it was a breakthrough like I felt like I had achieved with the metaphysical Big Bang concept or the realization of resonance, but it was, but it did have an impact. It just made it more understandable, comprehensible to me of how this dynamic within the individual and the individual in the condition or the entangled conditioning within the world. So the individual within their own being, and then in relationship to the entangled conditioning, because we're one agent of many agencies within the world. And again, this goes all the way back to the power of suggestion and what resonates with us. And so, I guess to end this recording, my notes, it kind of comes back to the natural form, the conditioned form, and the emergent form. So the natural form, to me, it begins with temperament, which I basically see, consider that like a template. And then from this template, our natural temperament, we're conditioned by others, we're conditioned through experiences, and that allows us to have the potential or possibility to become emergent. And in that emergence, it's a process of growth and development. And in my particular view of that, it's ever expanding consciousness. However, as I've said in my notes, however extraordinary that process and experience is, the extraordinary becomes ordinary. So the essence of being is becoming. In that becoming, it is embodied within us and becomes our being. And therefore, it becomes our natural form. So, in that process, part of what becomes converted is what will resonate with us. And that was the breakthrough that this whole concept of resonance kind of connected to a whole bunch of other parts of the modeling. Okay, so I think that's about the best I can get it down. Signing off.